who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I greet you in the name of Jesus Christ today. We're glad that you have chosen to join us for this week's sermon of the Cape Elizabeth Church of the Nazarene. God's Word is full of timeless truths that are relevant to our lives today. Here's this week's message.
It's a blessing to be back here with you this morning. Very glad to be here. I want to tell you a story about a couple weeks ago. I was taking my youngest son into the car. We had just left from his daycare, and we were getting in the vehicle, and he asked me a question. And I can't really remember what he was asking for, as four-year-olds are wont to do. So, you know, he wanted something, and initially I said, no, you don't need that right now. Come on, let's get in the car. And he said, please, can I have this? Or please, can we go here? I can't remember what it was. He said, please, can I do this? And I said, no, Alex, we just need to go in the car. We're getting ready to go. And he said, but Dad, I really want this. And please, can we do this? And about the third time, I'm thinking to myself, wow, he's asking really nicely. you know, 3 and 4 year olds, when they want something, usually it's meltdown right away if you say no. And I'm like, he's doing really good. He's doing great about this. And he said, and so he asks again as well as he can. And now I'm thinking to myself, why did I say no again? Like, I'm thinking, was it a good reason for why I said no? And then finally, he gets in the van and he turns to me and he says, Dad, I'd really like that. I said, well, why don't you get in your seat? We'll get buckled in and we'll try it. And I can see by about this third and fourth time that, you know, he's starting to build up. He's trying his best to communicate his desire for what he wants, and he's doing the best he can to do it. And then after he gets seated and he gets buckled in, I say to him, I said, Alex, you did so great asking. Thank you for that. And yeah, we're going to go ahead and let him do that. And I've been racking my brain over the last few days, trying to think, what was it that he even asked for? I mean, this is how insignificant it was, right? That I can't even remember what it was he was asking for. But I know my thought at the time was, usually when we say no, it's like we want to stick to it, right? Because we want them to learn to understand that, you know, no means you can't. And particularly if they throw a fit, it definitely means no. Like that's easy. But when everything goes well and he keeps asking and he's nice about it, all of a sudden I found myself asking, you know what? Was it really that important for me to say no? Maybe it was just out of convenience I said it, and then out of, well, I said no, I got to stick with it. And then after a while, I was like, I don't even know why I'm saying no anymore. This is kind of a parable, this is kind of a story, if you will, about, I think, some of our life and our faithfulness as well, that we go to God, and while he knows us, and we can go to him in any state and in any way at all, he knows who we are, but we can go to him again and again and say, God, this is really what my need is. And he can respond to that. And that our God desires to raise us up and to build us up and has indeed our best interests in mind for us. But one of the things, of course, where, of course, the analogy breaks down is God isn't worried about, you know, if I say yes or if I answer this prayer, am I a good enough parent or something like that? You know, I would do. He doesn't have those kinds of doubts. He's a good God without, you know, having to wonder if he is. But this story is echoed in Luke chapter 18. This is kind of my modern retelling of the parable that Jesus tells in Luke chapter 18. And so I'd like to read that for you today. Luke chapter 18. Feel free to stand as we read in honor of Scripture today. Luke chapter 18, verse 1 through 8 says, Then Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. He said, In a certain town there was a judge who neither feared God nor cared what people thought. And there was a widow in that town who kept coming to him with the plea, Grant me justice against my adversary. And for some time he refused, but finally he said to himself, Even though I don't fear God or care what people think, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I'll see that she gets justice so that she won't eventually come and attack me. And the Lord said, Listen to what the unjust judge says. And will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he will see that they get justice and quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? Amen. You can be seated. Thank you. So this is the parable that Jesus tells, right? You can already kind of see kind of the similarities from the story that I told that just happened a couple weeks ago. This widow has been coming to a judge asking for assistance. And what we heard in the psalm that we read today and from the passage in James that was read for us, you know, what we hear is that God has a special place and a calling for us to take care of the widows. This is a part of our faithfulness from the Old Testament to the New Testament. This is a very important part of who they are. And they recognize right away in this story that he tells that this judge who does not fear God nor care what people thinks is someone whose judgments are going to be based out of self-concern, and they're going to be based off of what he deems best without any care for the person who's talking to him. In fact, when he finally says, okay, I'm going to give her what she wants, it's so that she doesn't reach out and smack me because I've been so obstinate. I mean, this is literally what he says. And so, and Jesus says, if you look at this judge, this corrupt, this selfish judge, and we know that we have a judge who is not selfish, who is not just trying to get his own way, but actually cares for his people, how much more will he listen if we keep praying? Let's do this. This is a parable ultimately not about God as judge, but that last statement, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? Will we be the people who are praying faithfully again and again in preparation for when God comes? I mean, this is actually turns the notion of prayer on its head. You think that here this story is about asking again and again and again, and sooner or later, you know, like we wear God down and he answers us. But he says to us the purpose of prayer and the purpose of becoming a praying people is we are getting ready for when the Son of God comes back. We are getting ready for the return of Christ so that we can live with him and know who he is and know God and desire to be with him. In fact, the passage of scripture leading right up to Luke chapter 18 is a passage where Jesus is talking about the coming kingdom of God. And he talks about when he comes back. It's the passage that most often gets returned to when people want to talk about end times. When he says, one will be taken and another will be left. That's in Luke 17. And so right off the bat, people are wondering, okay, what's going to happen? And when is this going to happen? Because they are surrounded by evil. They're surrounded by evil powers. They look around at their present evil age and they go, God, this world is falling apart. When are you going to do something? And so they've been praying about this. And so we come to Luke 18 and he says, don't stop praying about this. As the people of God and as the church, we are called to be faithful and continuous in our prayers, knowing that God will answer. And whether that answer is to come in the future at the return of Christ, or whether God will answer us now in this present age, we know without a doubt God hears our prayers, and he will answer, and he will vindicate us, and he will bring forgiveness, and he will also bring judgment where judgment is necessary. And he will act where needed. I want to say this morning, good job, church, for being faithful over these many, many months. I remember just my second time preaching here, I think it was. There was a message I gave, and I called on you to not only be faithful, but to be bold to believe that God has a plan for you, God has a future for you, and not to settle. And not to, and not just to kind of go with whatever might be easiest, but to trust that God has a plan for you. And you have waited 14 months now, it seems, for a new pastor. You have waited and you have prayed, and you have a wonderful pastor who's coming. I had the opportunity actually to run into him. I went to a theology conference about a month or two ago in Kansas City, where he's coming out of as he comes out of seminary, and I got a chance to meet him as well. And I'm really happy for you and for your patience. God has answered your prayer, and I understand it is hard in that transition time. The first church I went to waited 18 months, about the same amount of time, and I got to see that kind of just exhaustion when I first showed up. That kind of we've been waiting and waiting. God is one who answers faithful and persistent prayer, and he's done that for you now as well, and you're going to get a chance to see that. But of course, Jesus' call for us to be faithful in prayer is one that continues, because there's going to be future needs for the church, and there's going to be future ministries that you're going to be involved in, and there are going to be things that happen, of course, in your life where you say, God, I need your hand in this moment. There's something that's going on right now I need your help with. And perhaps God will respond here, or perhaps we are asking for the patience and preparation for when Christ comes again. And indeed, the dead are raised, and sickness is healed, and evil is squashed, and He judges the living and the dead. But perhaps God will bring victory now in our present moments, and we will find that to be the case. What I love about this passage of Scripture is it is a passage about encouraging us to prayer. I think the biggest misreading sometimes we have on this is when we say the reason God hasn't answered yet is we haven't been persistent enough. I really don't like that, because I think it kind of puts it all on us and kind of like makes victims out of us when it seems like God is delaying His answer. What Jesus says to us and about this widow is, be persistent. God is a good God, and He has heard you, and He will answer. As He asks us to pray, the question then for us is, well, how do we pray? How do we do this? How do we become the kind of people who will be ready when Christ comes again? Or will be ready to receive the grace that God might give to us while we wait in answer to our prayers? How do we do this? One of the great things about Luke when he writes his Gospels, when he puts parables together and tells these stories, he often means for them to inform one another. I just told you what happened beforehand when Jesus is telling them a story about how, you know, you won't know when He's coming back. There'll be someone there, and then there won't be someone there. And He says, you won't know, you know, it'll come as a surprise. That just came beforehand. And so pray, because God is coming back. And then right after this passage of Scripture, if you have your Bible still open to Luke chapter 18, verse 9 and on, He tells the parable of a Pharisee and a tax collector. Put this in modern-day terms, the parable of the person who's been in church all their life and the parable of the person who is just perhaps praying for the first time in their life. And he says, one of them goes up on a hill and prays and says, I'm so glad I'm not like that sinner over there. And the sinner goes up to the mountain and beats his chest and says, God, have mercy on me. I am a sinner and I have wronged you. And he says to his disciples, the one who beat his chest in humility is the one who went home justified. And so how do we pray as we pray continually? We've got to pray with humility. We've got to understand that while God may be patient in answering, God may not have the answer that we want, but either way, we are going to pray and say, God, whatever your will is for my life and whatever you would have me do, this is what I want to be about. Even after this parable, he kind of talks about this prayer in action. After he tells this parable, Luke chapter 18 continues on by saying, children come up to Jesus, they want to talk to Him, and disciples usher them away. And Jesus says to them, well, no, let the children come to me. You got to have faith like these children. Let the children come to me. It's like they just forgot the parable about how to be humble. He said, you got to let them come to you. So in prayer, we got to be humble. And in prayer, we also have to have our minds and our thoughts for the least among us. In that time, of course, the children were considered very insignificant. But we have to have in our prayers a mind for those who are worse off, who have gone through sorrow, who have gone through hardship, who have gone through tough times. No wonder, as some of the passages we've read have encouraged us to take care of orphans and widows and the like. We have to care and love for all those whom God loves and cares for. And afterwards, in Luke chapter 18, after the story about the children, he tells the story of a man. Luke tells the story of a man who comes to Jesus and says, Jesus, I've been following these commands. I've been following everything you're saying. And he says, is there anything else? And Jesus says to sell what he has. And this rich young man goes away dejected because he has a lot. And prayer reminds us to be sacrificial in our lives, to be sacrificial in our giving of our time, of our resources, to be able to say, God, what I have is yours. Prayer prepares us to say, God, I recognize the temporary nature of this life you've given me, and I want to be a blessing to those around me, and I want to be able to be a good steward and communicator of your grace and your blessing in our life. And so I just look at the rest of Luke 18, and I just find myself thinking, wow, when Jesus calls us to pray faithfully, He kind of lays out for us, doesn't He? Like some of what this faithful prayer might look like. We're going to be humble. We're going to care about those among us who often aren't cared for enough. And we are going to pray in such a way that we might say, God, how would you still be able to use me? And not just have prayers of supplication and say, God, give me more, give me more. And this is the story Jesus tells for us, that we would be a people who would be faithful in prayer. And so as I look over kind of the last year, and I look over even the faithfulness that I see right here that's being exhibited, that your pastor is coming in just another month, and I think this is a sign of God's faithfulness. And I know that we need to be able to see those for what it is, because there is going to be times when you're wondering about the next ministry or when you're wondering about the next event that happens in your life. God, what are you going to do now? And we will pray. We'll pray for God to work. And maybe He acts and works in the way we want, but what we will be doing is we will be forming and shaping our lives to say, God, whatever happens, I want to be faithful in the midst of it. Because I know in the end, you're going to be faithful, and we're going to be with you for all eternity. And this is who we want to be, right? We want to be people who have learned to kneel before our God. We want to be a people who have learned to say, I'm going to follow Him and trust and hope that He is the God who indeed has never left us nor forsaken us.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. We hope this sermon has encouraged you with the gospel of Jesus. More sermons are available online at our website, capenazarene.org. May God bless you abundantly as you serve Him today.